Right, praise the Lord. The Lord loves a cheerful people. Amen. Yeah, we can come to church, we can have fun. We don't have to be all sad and all morose and all serious looking and everything. You know, it's a house of the Lord. We're supposed to be laughing in and out of church. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, so it's good. Welcome everyone as you're coming in. Thank you so much for coming. Please take your seats. We're about to get into the message. Before we do that, we're going to pray. I was about to pray when that song came into my mind, so I'm still going to pray before we do that. Let's do it again. We're not going to sing this time. Just raise your hands to the Lord. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning. We give you praise. We give you glory. In our hands to the one we love the best, who is Christ. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you once again because I know the entrance of your word brings light. And your word gives peace and comfort and also gives us understanding. We ask that that will be the case for us today in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to speak briefly on God's covenant of peace. Amen? God's covenant of peace. That's what I want to speak about briefly. So, you're going to have to use your Bibles today. Technical difficulties on the screens. Now, you guys have become so spoiled. Just come to church, technology. Don't even bring your Bible. People don't even bring their Bibles anymore because they're expecting the scriptures. Well, I've got news for you. No scriptures up on the screen today because... because we were having difficulties in the back, getting the thing out. So that means you got to pull out your Bible. Show me your Bible if you got it. I don't want to see any cell phones. I don't want to see any cell phones. Cell phone is not a Bible. This is a Bible. Show me your Bible. Thank you, everybody. Well, clap for yourself, those of you who have Bibles. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Well, you know, very soon they're going to replace this thing, you know, but... you know, with something else that has nothing to do with the Word of God. But right now, we still have it, so let's use it. Now, the reason why you don't want to use your cell phone, I have my cell phone here, but the reason you don't want to use it all the time when you think you're reading scriptures, oh, I use my cell phone, by the way, for scriptures all the time. I do, you know, but the problem is you got to be disciplined when you say you want to study the Word of God on your Bible, on your phone, because the next thing you know, something is going to flash across the screen, and you say, let me go check that out. A message from WhatsApp, a message from this, a message from that. You know, there's a time for everything, amen? There's a time for the study of the Word of God, there's a time for WhatsApp or texting or whatever. You know, so you got to discipline yourself enough to do that. Praise the Lord, you know. Don't worry about the screens. Don't worry about it. I can do without it, you know. Don't worry about it. I got the scriptures. I can do without it today because they're going to be trying to fix that all day long and they might not get it right. I'll take a look at it after service. All right. So, God's covenant of peace. Now, if you have your Bible, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 54 and I'm going to start at verse 10. Isaiah 54 and verse 10. We're talking today briefly about God's covenant of peace. For the mountains shall depart, and the hills shall be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee. Can someone say amen? Amen. Neither shall the covenant of my peace, or you can say my covenant of peace, you know, neither shall my covenant of peace be removed from you, saith the Lord that hath mercy on you. Amen. Isn't that comforting? I feel that is such a comforting scripture. The mountains shall depart. Not even the mountains may depart. No. The mountains shall depart. The hills shall be removed. Those things will happen. But my kindness will never depart from you. And the covenant of my peace will not be removed, saith the Lord. Amen. So I'm going to just give us a few scriptures. I'm not going to preach long. I was hoping to do a short service because of the baby dedication. I don't even see them here. Somebody let me know when they show up. So I want to give you some short scriptures, but I want to tell you something too about God's peace. Now, God doesn't like chaos. Okay? God is not the author of confusion, and it's not the author of chaos. And he doesn't like chaos. Now, in the beginning, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, God made the heaven and the earth. But the earth was without form and was void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. The place was chaotic. God didn't like it. So, what he did was the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deeps. Now, ladies and gentlemen, men and brethren, when things are chaotic, when things are without form and void, it takes the Holy Spirit first to move in order to bring order to that chaos. Amen. That's what happened from the beginning. That's how we were introduced to the Spirit of God. We saw that he didn't like the chaos. He didn't like the void. He didn't like the darkness. So he moved upon the face of the deep. And when he began to move, then the word of God began to come forth. So God doesn't like things being without form. That means chaotic. God likes order, things to be in order. Doesn't like things to just be, anyhow. And God likes things, that are filled with his Spirit. He doesn't like emptiness. Void is emptiness. A life that is void, that has no purpose, you need the Holy Spirit to move. When the Holy Spirit moved upon the face of the deeps, then we see that God started to call forth various things. So let me introduce to us today somebody that the Bible calls the Prince of Peace. Now, Jesus is that person. Many of us know it. But let's give you some scriptures to back that up. And then I have a few words to say to you from the Lord as well. In the book of Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, here's what we are told. A prophecy that was given. Please check your Bibles out as I'm reading. Never mind the screen. Screen's not working. Just be looking at your Bible. Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. That means presented. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name, we know that was Jesus. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Praise the Lord. God's got it all wrapped up in one name. That same name is the Everlasting Father. The same name is also the Prince of Peace. Now, I'm not talking too much about that today. I want to talk about the Prince of Peace part of it. Because nowadays, the scripture says, men's heart failing them for fear, for looking after those things that are coming upon the world. All kinds of things that are going on in the world. I don't know that people really have peace. And you really can't have peace without the Prince of Peace. Amen? Amen. They have taken prayer out of the schools. you can't even pray. You can't even talk about Jesus. Well, I talk about Jesus all the time. Praise the Lord. You can't shut me up. Why will I not talk about Jesus? Just because you don't want to hear it? Well, I don't want to hear what you have to say either. Praise the Lord. It's called the, Bill of Rights. You have a right not to hear about Jesus. I have a right not to hear about your stuff that you are doing. Don't put it in my face. I want to talk about Jesus. I have the right to express my faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's right. Now, and we need some parents that will stand up and go to some of these schools and say, I don't want my child listening to that garbage. I'm a taxpayer. Hallelujah. Because we don't stand up, that's why they do all these things. Before you know it, the name of the Lord Jesus will not even be mentioned again in this country. before you know it. You know, right now they say some kind of correctness, some kind of this and so. What's that? Praise the Lord. You can't take my faith away from me. You can try, but you can't do it. You know, I know who I've believed. And I know what it's done for me. And if it's done for me, what it's done for you, you will shout too. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, so don't let them snuff the name of the Lord out. But the thing is this, you cannot have peace without the Prince of Peace. This world cannot have peace. You know, I've got news for the world. I love this country like anybody else. But I got news for this country and for all the countries of the world. If you don't reinstate Jesus Christ as the Prince of Peace, you cannot have peace. Amen? I'm not afraid to say that. You know, I can say it. Because Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace for the world. He's also the Prince of Peace for your life. Now, I'm not going to talk too much about the world today. I just dropped that one in there. But I want to talk about He being the Prince of Peace in your life. You know, that's what is really important right here, right now. You know, because look, if you don't have peace, then nothing is really going to work. You can have all the money in the world, but if you don't have any peace, how's that going to work for you? It's not going to work. There's a lot of people that have a lot of money, but they don't have any peace, you know, and still that doesn't work for them. Praise the Lord. So we're going to talk about the kind of peace that Jesus gives. And he said it this way. He said, look, in John chapter 14 and verse 27, he said that the kind of peace that I give to you is not like the world gives. My peace, he said, I live with you. First of all, he said, peace, I live with you. And as if that was not enough, then he said, my peace. Hallelujah. You know the kind of peace Jesus has? It's the kind of thing that, you know, you can go into the boat. The boat is rocking up and down, trying to capsize, trying to drown and everything. And everybody is running helter-skelter. And he's in the back on a pillow, sleeping. Hallelujah. That's my peace. Jesus said, look, I give you peace, but just in case, you know, you get that confused with the world. But let me tell you, I'll give you my peace. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. Now, the disciples, their hearts were troubled. You can read that story in Mark chapter 4. When Jesus said, let's go on to the other side. And they got in the boat, and all hell broke loose. When Jesus, he didn't care. He just went to sleep. Why? Because he already said, let's go on to the other side. Amen. Once Jesus says, let's go on to the other side, get to the other side, you will. Tempest, storm, notwithstanding. So Jesus, he just went to sleep. He had the kind of peace that the disciples didn't have at that time, you know, because they didn't understand, you know. So he went to sleep. He was on the pillow, sleeping. And they run to Jesus and say, Lord, don't you care that we perish? And Jesus got up and said, hey, what's happening? He said, Master, the boat is trying to capsize. Look at the water coming in. Look at all the billows and everything. And Jesus said, oh, how long am I going to be with you? Why is it that, you know, you're so fearful? How come is it you have no faith? And where is your peace in the midst of all of that too? I added that in there. You know, because you can have peace. Now, let me define peace this way. It's not necessarily, you know, absence of trouble. It's also in spite of trouble. So, now, covenant of peace. We've heard messages on peace in this church, up and down, every sideways you want. But I want to talk more specifically today about a covenant of peace. Now, in John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus said, look, in the world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, you know. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world for you. And not only that, he said, these things I speak unto you, that in me you might have peace. Now, you're not going to have peace in the world, but you'll have peace in me. Now, let me talk about a different kind of peace. That was just a preamble. You've heard many messages of peace. The kind of peace I want to talk about today is the kind that Jesus offers us when we have a lot of burdens. I want to talk about those burdens. It's really the covenant of peace, but I can't do it without talking about the burdens from which Jesus gives you peace. Matthew 11 and 28 says, "Come unto me, all ye that do what? That labor and are what? Heavy laden." When you are laboring and heavy laden, ladies and gentlemen, you cannot have peace. You know, how is that so? Well, because you're going from pillar to post. You're waking up early, staying up late, working two jobs, three jobs, and all that. You know, only to eat the bread of affliction. Bread of affliction means from hand to mouth. You can't make ends meet. You can hardly pay your rent and all of that. You know, and we're not making light of that. But Jesus said, look, my peace I give to you. Now, I'm going to tell you something today. I'm going to share something with you today about the covenant of peace. Now, for anyone that's a believer in here that loves the Lord Jesus, you're giving your life to Christ, you know that Christ is the Lord of your life. Let me see your hands up. Hands up if Christ is the Lord of your life. Now, this message is for you. Now, if Christ is not yet the Lord and Master of your life, you can come in too and experience this. But for those of you who have already given your life to Christ, now this lesson today is for you. Now, remember, the title is Covenant of Peace. Let me explain how it works. We're going to read Philippians chapter 4, a favorite text that many people like. But let's bring out a viewpoint here. Philippians chapter 4, we will read verses 6 and 7. Yeah. Now, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, it says, "Be careful for nothing." Don't let anything trouble you. Be anxious for nothing. Don't lose your peace over anything. That's what he's saying. You know, "But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Now, the next verse is really where I'm going. I want to teach out of this verse today how God's covenant of peace really works. Now, "And the peace of God," remember, Jesus said, "My peace I leave with you." "The peace of God which passes all understanding." Now, God's covenant of peace, we really can't understand it. You know, he says, "But that peace shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus." Amen. Now, let me explain how that works. This is how it works for those who are believers. It's how it works. God does not always need or even have to scramble when you are praying. And let me tell you that again. God does not always have to or need to scramble when you are praying. What he actually wants, instead of every time we're running to the Lord and say, "Lord, don't you care that we perish? Don't you care about this? Don't you care about that?" God's covenant of peace, and I'm preaching this morning out of this verse in Philippians 4 and verse 7, is actually instructing you how to handle things. That's right. You know, God wants you to develop the nature of the Christ. Christ was supposed to be the firstborn among many brethren. The blueprint, according to Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. It's supposed to be the blueprint, the firstborn among many brethren. You know, so what that means is we need to develop to become like him. To become like him. This is what God ordained from the beginning, you know. We're told that those whom God did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed. formed in the image of the Christ. You know, so that was in God's mind from the beginning. Now, part of the thing with Christ is he's never ruffled about anything, you know, and, you know, he understands things that people don't, that people didn't understand. Now, he was the prince, the chosen one to the kingdom. Prince is not actually necessarily less than king. It just means that, you know, he's the next, the appointed one to take everything over. That's why he's called the prince of all the kings of the earth. Doesn't make him any less. But he's the chosen one. That's what prince means. He's the chosen one. So Christ, understanding that, you know, here's how the Son of God operates. You know, and I want to show you something out of that with the covenant of peace. This is how he operates. He's out in the wilderness preaching. After 3 days, everybody's hungry and so forth. No food. No food. Everybody's saying, where are we going to get food for all these people? The Son of God, no problem. What do you have? Oh, well, just a little boy's lunch. As far as he's concerned, no problem. Give it to me. And when they gave it to him, put a blessing on it, gave it back to them. Praise the Lord. That's how the peace of God works. Some of you may not see that. But Jesus didn't panic when there was a need to feed 5,000 people or 4,000 or whatever the number was. And everybody said, look, even if we were to bring 200 penny worth of bread, we can't feed all these people. Jesus said, no problem. You know, he has a kind of calm, has a kind of peace in every situation. You know? And all he has to do is, what do you got? He said, well, I got this. Well, cool. That's enough. Praise the Lord. Let me say this to every one of you. Whatever you have is already enough. The beginning of your miracle is already in your hand. You may not know it. One prophet said to a woman one time that came and cried to him, he said, well, what do you have in the house? He said, well, nothing except a pot of oil. You know, prophet said, it is enough. Gave some instructions. Jesus said, what do you have? Well, a little boy's lunch. But what is that among so many? A little boy's lunch. Jesus said, it is enough. No problem. This is how things work when somebody knows where they are. Now, Jesus is going to go and meet up with the disciples. The boat has already left the station. It's like train has already left. No problem. He's just going to catch up walking on the water. Hallelujah. There's no problem with him. He understands these things. And there is some understanding that he has that we need to get, you know. So, the boat has left. No problem. I'll just catch up with them. I'll just walk on the water. Praise the Lord. Now, if it were you and I, if the boat had left, we're going to panic. We just panic, run up, helter-skelter. I missed the plane. I missed the boat. I missed this. I missed that. But this man, you know, didn't make him any difference at all. You know, just, well, boat's left, no problem. I'll just catch up. Just walk on the water. Hallelujah. Now, Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, what he's saying is this. There is a way that you need to develop the peace of God that is in you. You know, to the extent that which God doesn't need to take care of the problem. You will go through the problem. Now, God doesn't have to always remove the problem. Jesus had no intention, if you read that story in Mark chapter 4, he had no intention of rebuking the storm. He knew the storm was coming. Now, if you don't think that Jesus knew that the storm was coming, then you don't know too much about the Lord. But the Lord knew the storm was coming, but it didn't matter, you know. And he had no intention of rebuking the storm. It's not a, You don't have to waste your spiritual capital on everything. Jesus didn't, you know, let the storm do its thing. It will do its thing up and down and so forth. It will pass. Amen. That's peace. You know, that's peace. But just because the disciples panicked, then Jesus got up and rebuked the storm. But he also rebuked the disciples. He rebuked the storm and he rebuked the disciples for not having faith and for being so fearful. But he had no intention of rebuking the storm. Now that is a depiction of God not necessarily removing the problem. God doesn't have to remove the storm. But you have peace. The peace of God. A person understand, how can we have peace in this situation? Well, here's another thing. God actually wants you to develop, to be like Christ, that you, not God, can handle the situation. Now, some people don't understand that. But you know, that's where we need to be. That's what Jesus was expecting the disciples to actually do. He knew that the disciples can handle the storm. He knew that. You know. So he didn't care. That's why he was disappointed when they came. If he didn't think or even know that they could have handled the storm, he wouldn't have rebuked them. You know. But he knew they could handle the storm. So here's what I'm saying to you today. You can handle it. Hallelujah. You can handle the storm. And God doesn't have to remove every storm. In fact, he wants you to deal with it. Praise God. Jesus wanted the disciples to deal with the storm. Deal with it. You know, if you have the kind of peace that Jesus has, how did he get it? He was all prayed up. He was prayed up. You know, in the early morning, they find him on the mountain, prayed up, praying, and so forth. Disciples didn't know how to do that too much. Throughout the time that Jesus was a disciple with his disciples, he was trying to get them to be prayerful. I'm trying to tell them that, look, in Matthew 17 and 5, you can't, look, these kind of things, you know, some things can't go out except by prayer and fasting. But disciples didn't like to fast. They didn't like to pray either. They just say, hey, you know, they just coast along. Well, even in Jesus' darkest hour, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus took a couple of them with him and asked them to pray with him. They didn't pray. They fell asleep. But they were not used to praying. If you are, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. If you are not used to praying, you know, and this kind of peace might elude you. Look, the time we pray and get prayed up is not the time when all hell's already broken loose. You pray, you get prayed up in the time of peace. Hallelujah. You say, well, what does that mean? Well, here's what it means. Jeremiah chapter 12 and verse 5. It says, look, if you have if you have run with footmen and they made you weary, how in the world are you going to contend with horses? You run against footmen and you cannot win. You know, then how are you going to contend with horses? So, let me tell you this. Jesus told them in Matthew 17 and verse 21, there are some things that you can't get done except by fasting and praying. Now, in Jeremiah 12:5, the verse I was just alluding to, if you run against footmen and you don't win, how are you going to contend with horses? But the next part of it says, look, if in the land of peace, wherein you trusted, when everything is good, you know, you can't even have it together, what are you going to do during the overswelling of Jordan? Because Jordan overswelled his banks at different times. That means, what are you going to do when all hell breaks loose? You know, so the time to be prayed up. And practice your faith. You know, we don't have to ask God to remove every problem. You deal with it. Praise God. You know, Paul said in Philippians 4 and 13, by Christ and through Christ, I can do what? All things. Now, that's not exactly Christ doing it for me. We know that's the case. But he's also saying that, look, I can do all things. You know, I'm instructed in every which way to be full, to be empty, to be this, to be that, and so on. I can go through the storm. You know, I've been cast into prison. I've been this, I've been that, and all of these things. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Now, the lesson here is this. The prayer that most of us as believers pray, most of the time, we're just praying like unbelievers. I asked before, a show of hands for those who are believers, majority of the people in the room raise their hands. But if we check out the prayer that we pray, most of the time we pray like unbelievers. How do unbelievers pray? Unbelievers actually pray. They pray for God. God help me. You know, my child, oh, God help me. This, God help me. That. Always, you know, God do this, God do that, and so forth. You know, which is like, give me this, give me that, give me this, give me that. That's their prayer. They do not have the kind of prayer. Let me tell you that no unbeliever can pray this prayer, these prayers that I'm about to read to you right now. None of them. If a person is not a believer in Christ, you know, in this way that we're talking about, they can't pray this prayer. Listen to this in Ephesians, you know, chapter 1. Paul said, look, after I heard of your faith in Christ, you know, I cease not, you know, to pray for you and so forth. And he began to tell them that, look, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, should give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in knowledge of him. How many unbelievers can pray that prayer? They can't. Yeah. All they pray is, God save me, God do this, God do that. When you begin to pray that the Lord should give you the spirit of wisdom in the revelation and knowledge of Christ, that's a different kind of prayer, you know. And he begins to pray that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened. Now, this is the peace. There is a peace that passes understanding. But not when you are in Christ, you understand how it works. Because the eyes of your understanding are now, you know, operating. The eyes of your understanding and being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints. How many unbelievers can pray that? They don't even understand what that means. You know, and to know the exceeding greatness of his power toward us that believe. You know, they can't pray that. They just pray, give me this, give me that. Help me with this, help me with that. Now, so I want us to check ourselves today. If your prayer is only, Father, give me this, Father, give me that, Father, give me this, Father, give me that, you may not actually be ready when all hell breaks loose. You may not be ready when Jordan overflows its banks. You know, because in the land of peace, wherein you trust that you can't even hold it together. You know, so there are times, and that's why sometimes, you know, as you begin to grow in faith, God doesn't always jump, you know, when you ask for something. Now, it's kind of like a parent, you know, when you are a parent, you have a new baby and they begin to, you know, they know how to cry and talk and so forth. I mean, you put them in a room, even if you have the baby monitor or you hear them cry, you jump. You know, as soon as they cry, you just jump. Because, you know, you think of them as being helpless. You don't know, oh my God, what's happening? You rush there. You know, as they get a little bit older, sometimes when they cry, you just kind of look, you get over it. Praise the Lord. It's the same thing, you know. So, but God wants you to develop this concept and understand his covenant of peace. Now, here is his covenant of peace, though. This is the way he gives it. He said, I will never remove it. Now, we have to walk away from his peace. 2 Thessalonians 3 and 16 says, you know, God will give you peace By all means. Hallelujah. Yeah, that's his covenant of peace. Now, Romans chapter 15 and verse 13 also tells us, gives us an insight. He says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and all peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. He will fill you with all peace. But the way he does it, gives you the power of the Holy Spirit to enable you to stand. And having done all, to stand. You have to be able to stand, you know, stand fast in the faith. Don't let little things push you over, you know. If little things push you over, every little thing, you panic, you run to God in prayer. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't go to God in prayer. We should, but you don't need to panic. If you panic, you have not understood his covenant of peace. Because the way he said it in our opening scripture today was that the mountains may depart. Well, sometimes you are on top. You may be on top of the mountain. Some people call it cloud nine or whatever. I don't know. Maybe on top, that may fail. And you fall down. It doesn't matter. Hills may be removed. All of that may happen. But my covenant of peace will never be removed. Hallelujah. And if you have that, you know that you know that you know. No matter what is going on, you know. Now, let me read with you quickly another scripture here. It's just a brief exhortation that I wanted to give today because of the other thing we have going. In the book of Numbers, chapter 6, this is another famous scripture that we all love to quote. Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 to 26. This is a good prayer, you know, that people pray all the time, you know. But let's read it together. There's an element that I want to bring out here. Well, the Lord bless thee and keep you. Amen. Well, okay, let me pray that prayer for you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious unto you. Amen. Hallelujah. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you. Now, I'm going to change this part a little bit. You know, the Lord make you to understand his covenant of peace. Hallelujah. Because Jesus already gave it to you. We don't need to pray that anymore. You know, this was in the Old Testament. They're still praying that God should give you the peace. Okay, fine. But Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. He already did it. So rather than praying that, oh, God should give us peace, may the Lord help me to understand his covenant of peace. Look, this is a one-way covenant, folks. Many times when we make a covenant, it's between two parties. You know, one party signs their own, the other party signs their own. That's a covenant. This is a one-way covenant. He made it himself. Hallelujah. So it's not dependent upon you signing something. He already made it. My covenant of peace, you know, or the covenant of my peace. The same thing as my covenant of peace. It's not like the covenant of peace that you and I have. No. It's my covenant of peace I give unto you. And my prayer today for you is that you may understand that. Once you get that understanding, nothing really will flutter. It won't be fluttered by anything. You know, everything, cataclysmic upheavals, everything may be, you know, blowing up around you and so forth. But you just understand his covenant of peace. Because he said, I will not remove my covenant of peace, and I will not break this thing. I won't break it. You know, and I am the Lord that hath mercy on you. Now, I'm going to leave that exhortation there because I want to pray. I didn't want to speak too long today, but I want to tell you this. I want to summarize what I've said so far. I want to go back to Isaiah 54 and 10. Now, in Isaiah 54 and 10, this is where we started, and this is where we will end. The mountains shall depart, and the hills shall be removed. But my kindness, now, the kindness that God gives you, He's putting out right here. My kindness shall not depart from you, neither shall covenant of my peace, or I like to say, neither shall my covenant of peace, but it's also the covenant of his peace, be removed, saith the Lord that has mercy on me. He's already signed, sealed, and delivered it. Amen. Now, in the days ahead, you're going to need an understanding of this covenant of peace. And that's the reason why Jesus was talking about it and said, not as the world gives. You can't find this peace. That's why the scripture says you can't understand it either. But our prayer today is that the Lord will help us to understand it. And if you can understand it, then nothing will really shake you. I mean, Jesus understood it and nothing really moved him. Really. You know. So, that's going to be our prayer today. And the Lord will help us understand, see, you know, why is that important? Well, it is important. Because sometimes, I mean, everything is going so well, that all of a sudden, you get some bad news. Just out of the blues. Just get some bad news. These things happen to the best of us. We just get some bad news out of somewhere. You know? But look, Sammy said, look, I'm not going to be afraid of evil tidings because my heart is fixed. I'm trusting in the Lord. Isaiah 26 and verse 3 says, thou wilt keep in perfect what? Hello? Thou wilt keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Why? Because he understands God's covenant of peace. You know, you go to the doctors for a random health check, you know, you're not even feeling sick, but just some random routine health check, and all of a sudden you get this, you know, handwriting, it's more than ordinances, evil report. Now, when you have that evil report, you got this, you got that, you got this, no, what do you do? What you need to do is say, look, God's kindness will never depart from me. Amen. His covenant of peace is always with me. I don't have those things. Praise the Lord. And you begin to, one, you reject it. Two, but you are not moved. Now, stand steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Be steadfast and be unmovable. And how can you be unmovable? Well, the only way that you can be unmovable is when you understand the covenant of peace. It's such a thing. It said, the peace of God that passes understanding. It didn't say God will answer every one of those prayers. Remember, be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, commit them unto God. And the next verse, actually the next verse should have said, and the Lord will answer all those prayers. He didn't say that. Did he say that? He didn't say, and the Lord will answer all those prayers. He said, and the peace of God will keep your hearts. Now, whether God jumps up or not, whether it looks like he's answering right away or not, God said, look, you know, if you understand my covenant of peace, you can win in every situation. And God is entrusting you with that responsibility, just like he entrusted it to the disciples. Jesus wanted them to have the responsibility of knowing how to endure the storm. You don't have to rebuke every storm. Praise the Lord. And God doesn't have to rebuke every storm. But you can, wade through the storm. Even in the eye of the storm, you can have peace. You can go through it. That's what God wants us to learn. Now, I'm going to pray for everyone that's in the house today, that the peace of God that passes understanding. Well, when you are in the carnal mind, you can't understand it. But when you are in the spirit, you can actually understand it. That's a prayer that Paul was praying, that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened. You understand the things of God. You understand how the peace of God works. Even though the natural man cannot understand it, but you understand it. And when you understand it, you take advantage. That is the thing that gives you an advantage. That's what Jesus was saying in John 14 and 27. What gives you an advantage is my peace. The world doesn't have it, but I'm giving you an advantage because I'm giving you my peace. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet, and I'm going to pray for every one of us today. Praise the Lord. And the folks here that are doing the naming ceremony, are they here? Is that a yes? All right, well, praise the Lord. So, we're going to pray that God will give us an understanding of the covenant of peace. There are so many other things that I wanted to say today, but because of this, event that we have today, I didn't want to say too much. Keep it brief. But I do want you to understand that you can actually pray that God will give you understanding of his covenant of peace. Once you have that understanding, nothing bothers you anymore. Somebody may be jumping up, doing whatever, it's not going to bother you. Praise the Lord. And people say, this person is doing this to me, that person is doing this. Once you understand God's covenant of peace, that stuff won't even bother you. Hallelujah. I've been learning to understand God's covenant of peace, and hardly does anything bother me anymore. Praise the Lord. Calm, collected, cool. Can be a lot of C's, C for cool, C for calm, C for collected, C for confidence, everything. Just calm. Don't let anything bother you. Let's raise our hands and let's pray. Hallelujah. The only way that you really get this peace, is through the Christ. You can't get it any other way. So if there's anyone here that hasn't really truly known this Christ in the way that he wants to be known, now is your opportunity to commit your life to him. If you've already known the Lord and yet you are panicking in every situation like the disciples, now is your opportunity to pray that you may understand his covenant of peace that can make you sleep in the back of the boat when the boat is almost capsizing. You can just sleep, snooze, you're not worried about anything. Praise the Lord. Now, let's pray. Father, I pray for all your children here. I pray first for those who have not experienced the Prince of Peace in the way that he wants to be known. For those who may also be watching or listening later on, we invite you to experience the peace that only the Christ can give. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. You don't have peace when you are in that situation, but I will give you rest. That's peace. I will give you rest. Hallelujah. Now, I pray for everyone here that says, I love the Lord, I trust him, but yet I don't have peace. why is it that you don't have peace? Well, be prayed up, number one. When things have not yet become cataclysmic, be prayed up. But number two, pray with me right now. God will give you an understanding of his covenant of peace. Once you have it, look, it won't matter what the next person is doing or not doing. You just have peace. Praise the Lord. Father, I pray for your children that there will be an understanding in us today of your covenant of peace and of the covenant of your peace. The kind of peace that you give that the world cannot give. That the peace that gives us advantage over everybody else. Not, you can't get it in the world. But Jesus said, I gave it to you already. To give you an advantage. To give you an edge. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, put your hands together for the Prince of Peace. The one that can give you such peace that you never have to worry about anything. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen.